We have a rule around our kitchen dining table, meal times. It's not a rule that you have to wear a jacket and tie. We thought that was perhaps a little bit formal and over the top, perhaps. It's not a rule that you can't bring assault weapons to the dining room table, although we would frown on that if anyone were to try doing it if you're invited for dinner. No, we have a rule around our dining table, and it's this. No singing at the dinner table. No singing at the dinner table. Now, the reason is quite simple. It's not just because we're killjoys. We want to encourage conversation around the dinner table. And the reality is that if you're singing to yourself the latest thing you've been listening to, you're not talking to or listening to anyone else who's around the table. That's the same reason that we have our second rule around our dining table, no phones. While you're at the dinner table, that's where you are. And those are the people that you are with. So there's no phones, no singing at the dinner table. Other than that, it's quite fun, really, at our house. Don't worry about it. Now, at various times, rather, one member of our family or another will be pulled up short on this very quickly. But here's the interesting thing. No one has ever yet quoted the rule of themselves. They've been quick to wave the flag at someone else. There's a certain delight in catching somebody else out, a triumphant accusation, particularly when it's mum who's caught out. But no one ever calls themselves on it. We tend to be quick, don't we, to apply rules to one another, and less so towards ourselves. We're continuing our series in the Ten Commandments this morning, and we've reached number 5. The one which I suspect is quoted at others more, perhaps, than all the rest. It's this. Honour your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. It's on page 78 if you want to find it in the church Bibles. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. And I imagine that even as I read that out, there are might be one or two parents giving little knowing glances towards their children at this point. Are you listening to this? Or the thought that, I wish that Fred or Bill or Jemima or Alfredo, whoever it is, I wish they were here to hear this, because they can really do with it. Here's the commandment that's triumphantly waved like Neville Chamberlain's little piece of paper at children by their parents. We tend to be quick to apply rules to others, don't we? Less so to ourselves. But you see, there's more to this commandment than just the ultimate trump card for parents who want their children to do what they're told. Far more than that, be that not singing at the dinner table or whatever else it might be. Because as with all the commandments, it addresses all of us first before we start directing it towards others. It must begin by causing us to examine our own hearts before we then look to others. It must begin by getting us to examine our own hearts before we then start applying it towards others. Now, we do love our top tens, don't we? If you're a bit of an aficionado of YouTube or whatever, we do love our top tens. Everything from the charts to our favourite books to our favourite movies, TV shows, toys from our childhood, whatever else it might be. You name it, you can find a top 10 for it somewhere that you can argue over with your friends. And a discussion of each item and where it merits to be on that list. Is it to be higher? And all those top 10 tend to work towards number 1, don't they? They count down. Now, I don't think the 10 commandments are quite like that. Their ranking is not sort of in relative seriousness, so don't disobey the first one, whatever you do, but number 10, well, that's not quite so bad. But there is a purpose in their order as we work through them. So it's no accident that we begin with the primacy of worship to God in those first commandments, and we move on from there. That's the way it's supposed to be. And the first 4 commandments, I'm sure you've heard, are about how we relate to God, and the following 6, which we begin today, about how we relate to one another. So the obvious question then, why kick off the second half with this one? Why not kick off with do not murder? I mean, let's get the sanctity of life right at the start. Why not begin with that one? Is it because, as perhaps we might suspect, that above all else, we just need to tell children how to behave and make sure they do what they're told? And that's the number one priority. I don't think so. Because actually the key principle that this commandment lays out, if you look at it, is not obedience, but honour. That's the language that's used. Now, as we're going to see later on, Paul applies this in terms of obedience, but honour is a far bigger term than simple obedience. Honour covers not simply behaviour, but attitude. And this honour, the commandment lays out, is singled out as being due to parents. Honour your father and your mother. These people are due an attitude of honour because of the role that they fulfil within the wider society and within the family. And respecting that position, says the Lord in his given the commandments, is part of what it means for the society to function well and for life to be enjoyed. So this commandment comes with a promise attached, doesn't it? So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Well, why link the promise to that particular commandment? Again, why not link it to do not murder? I mean, that's pretty key for a healthy society, isn't it? Well, actually, most of the others, or theft, perjury, and the others that follow. You could link those to the importance for society. Why this one? Well, think about one of the first principles that those first four commandments have been spelling out for Israel. They've been spelling out that God is king, that God is the Lord, that God is the one to be worshipped and loved and honoured. He's the one on whom they have been and are to be completely dependent. God has told them that again and again. He is the one who has cared for and nurtured them, as he began the Ten Commandments by saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery. See, Israel is not to be an independent nation, but to be a dependent one. One that recognises the gratitude and the honour which is due to God. So the fifth commandment recognises a hierarchy within the family. Now, not a hierarchy of power and subjugation, but of honour and respect which is paid to parents. And we need to learn this lesson and the link that it has, because it echoes the honour and the respect that we owe to God. Now that means, I think, that there are some implications for our parenting. If this is the lesson that we're supposed to learn, that honour is to be given towards those who are provided for us. Let me explain. You see, we've often heard it said by parents that the children are the most important thing. That it's all about the kids. That everything I do is for their good and for their happiness. That my kids are my number one priority. Now that outlook has a wealth of goodness and godliness to it. It speaks of a servant-heartedness and an others-centeredness, which is wonderfully Christ-like in its attitude. See, abusive parenting, which dominates and crushes, is profoundly wrong and ungodly. Now, that attitude of seeking the best for our children at great cost to ourselves is the right way to parent. It is a good thing to do. But there is a danger there, too. There is a danger in going too far. There is the danger that we communicate to our children that they are the centre of the universe. If everything becomes about them, that others exist to serve them. Most notably, that mum and dad exist to serve them. Now again, there's a sense in which that is true. Parents, we are to serve our children with all humility and love. And at great cost to ourselves. But one of the ways in which we do that is by teaching them that they are not the centre of the universe. That there is a God to respond to and to honour and to obey. That there are others to whom they owe that same respect and honour. So you see, if our children end up treating our home like a hotel and expecting mum and dad to pick up after them and everything that goes on with no recognition for the good that they do, I think then we're failing to help our children learn the lessons of this commandment. So it's good for us to encourage them to thank mum or dad for cooking dinner that night, to recognise and to honour and respect the service that is given. And we help them to see that as we praise what the other parent does to serve us, if there are two of us. And if there's just one, well, we take the opportunity to remind them of what is done for them, not to lay a burden of guilt, but to encourage them to see that honour is due to others and thankfulness is due to others. We don't do that to blow our own trumpet or to manipulate the thank you, but to remind them of their need to be grateful and to honour others. And here, might I say, I think the wider church family has an important role to play in helping those of us who are single parents, because it's hard as a single parent to remind your children of the honour that they owe to you. That's just difficult to do. That's where the rest of us need to step in. We need to be praising parents for the good that they do, encouraging children to see the honour and respect that they are given as they serve, they are served by their parents. Taking that opportunity to see those good things and to encourage and to praise them. And we do this because it is better for our children to see these things, because to live in a godly way brings a promise with it. Now, that's not an easy thing to do, I don't think, to teach your children to honour you as parents, whether there's one or whether there's two of you. But that probably needs further exploration then, doesn't it? We don't have time to do that this morning, but why not take some time to talk it through with some friends? To think through what it looks like for you to encourage your children to honour you and to honour their parents. Talk with those who are parenting children of a similar age. What's working for you? What are some of the frustrations that you feel? Talk to some of those with experience who've gone before and learned the lessons. Think through, how do we help our children to honour their parents, to honour us, so that they might learn what it means to honour God? So first of all, then, there is an underlying principle here of submission and respect that shapes this commandment, number 5. But we're going to think a little bit now about some implications for children and for adults about what this means for us. Now, most of the commentaries that I read in thinking through this particular commandment tend to rush on very quickly here to application to adult children, to what it means for those of us as we grow up to respect our parents. Primarily, the application has been in terms of the care of elderly parents. So they cite the promise attached to the commandment, which looks forward to the thriving of society. Honour your parents so that all might go well for you. Recognising that care for the elderly is a vital part of godly community. And we're going to come to that, because that is a clear and important application to us all. But I don't want to rush on too quickly. I don't want to rush on too quickly to adult children, because one of the two main occasions in the New Testament where attention is specifically drawn towards this commandment, one is a reference from Jesus to adult children in Mark 7 and Matthew 15, but the other is by Paul in Ephesians 6, and then it's paralleled in Colossians 3. He has this to say at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Exasperate is a great word, isn't it? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Do not wind them up and make things difficult for them. But bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Okay, fine. But what does that have to do with us? Most of us in this room at the moment are not children living with our parents at the moment. And so we're in a different situation. Let's just move on, shall we? Well, you see, if we do that, I think we will miss something quite profound here. Because the first of God's commandments to deal with our relationships with the people of God, which is what the second half of them are all about, the first of those commandments specifically engages with young children. That's the application that Paul makes here in Ephesians 6. Specifically engages with young children. And that has the profoundest of consequences for our attitude to our children, those currently being served by the Sunday school teachers outside. Because by specifically addressing them first in these one another commandments, children are given a dignity and a responsibility that must not be missed. And it seems to me that often God's people have failed to recognise this. We're not always very good at it. We saw it in the attitude of the disciples when the children were wanting to draw near to Jesus. And what did the disciples do? No, keep them out of the way. They're just going to get in the way. They're just going to drain Jesus' energy for no good purpose. Why would he want to see the children? They were just kids. That was then. But I guess we see it today sometimes where children are tolerated around the church, so long as they're sufficiently quiet, or even better, so long as they're kept out of the way. And sometimes that's our attitude, isn't it? Now, we might respond perhaps to that by saying, well, hang on, this commandment says honour others. Honour those who are in a different, who are older than you. And surely by disrupting my quiet reflection in church, or by banging into me whilst they're playing chase after the service or whatever it is, that's not exactly honouring me, is it? Well, there's some truth in that. And one of our responsibilities as parents is to train and educate our children to show that honour towards others. But beware going where we started. Beware going where we started, where we begin to be quick to wave commandments to other people before we hear God's word addressing us. We must first examine our own hearts. These commandments speak first of all to us, first and foremost. And the inclusion of children here at this early stage, and the inclusion of children here gives them and parents a responsibility certainly to honour those, but also a dignity that we must not ignore. God addresses children and includes them in his planning. But there are some of us here, I would guess, who are still in the position of being children, or better, perhaps young people, who are living at home under our parents. What does this mean for us today? Well, Paul's application in Ephesians chapter 6 is clear, isn't it? Children, obey your parents. Probably not the news that you were really expecting wanting to hear this morning. But God is pretty clear on the matter. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. You're not free to pick and choose. Obey them in everything? Really? Well, if it doesn't involve going against God's law, then I think the implication is yes, that's what we are to do. Obedience is certainly where we start from. Now, that's a hard thing to hear in your teenage years, isn't it? It's difficult because you are starting to develop your own thinking more and more, and you begin to want to stretch your wings and experience new things, and parents just so often just seem to get in the way and to restrict. Ever felt misunderstood? My parents don't get me. Well, here's the reality. Parents sometimes restrict unnecessarily. They get things wrong. They get things wrong from the best of intentions, but they get it wrong. Well, how are you to respond as a young person in that situation? Well, two ways. First of all, you can't get away from Paul's application in Ephesians 6 to obedience. There in Ephesians and again in Colossians, submission to those in authority over you remains the godly way to act. But secondly, and just as importantly, the instruction here is to honour your parents. And that's an attitude thing that you take. Not to sullenly agree to obey, but to look first at the good motivation that lies behind whatever instruction that they've given. However ill-used it might seem to be, however restrictive it might seem to be, but to think well of them, to honour them, to regard their intentions towards you as good, and so to be grateful for that love and care that is shown. And to honour the love and care they are showing you, even when it feels unnecessarily over the top. Now that's not going to be easy. And that's not going to be easy for two reasons. Firstly, because with young people, as with the older ones amongst us, our sinful nature will always look for independence. It will always think that we know best. It will always think that we should do what we want, first and foremost. That we make our own decisions. And a rejection of that self-centeredness of sin, to honour someone else by listening to and then obeying them, is a godly thing to do. But secondly, it will be difficult because the world around you will be telling you exactly the opposite. The world around will be telling you exactly the opposite. Sometimes indirectly encouraging rebellion, whether it be by friends urging you to stay out later or to go places that your parents have put off limits or to try things they've told you not to. Because you've got to live a little, haven't you? I mean, what do the old fuddy-duddies know? Ignore them. Sometimes it will be that blatant encouragement of rebellion. But it will also come more subtly than that. It will come in the encouragement to live your own life, to follow your own path, to value independence above all. That's what growing up's all about, isn't it? But you see, according to the Bible, independence is not the great goal that we strive towards. It's not the sign of maturity and growth. Nor is it the secret to happiness, says the fifth commandment. It's not the secret to happiness. Honour your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Dependence, interconnectedness, honouring and respecting others is the key to godliness and therefore to joy, says God. Let me address a word again to us as a wider church family at this point. And it's to do with how we value and how we pray for our teenagers that God has graciously placed amongst us. Can we begin, first of all, by dispensing with the unhelpful and frankly ungodly attitude that sees teenage years as problem times? It's just not true. They're not. They are rather, in the words of a title of a helpful book we've got at home, an age of opportunity. A great age of opportunity. As our young people grow into adulthood, these are the chances to help them to lay foundations of character and of godliness. They are years not to be endured, as so often they seem to be described as, but to be invested in. Foundations put in place at that point will last. And part of that investment is to help them to honour their parents and to honour those more senior to them. Now, it's no easy thing to do that. So will you pray for the Spirit to be at work in our young people, shaping their hearts so they might be more like the Lord Jesus, who obeyed his Father supremely? And give them reasons to honour you. As those who are senior to the teenagers amongst us, give them reasons to honour you, to show them love and care and interest and concern so that they might respect and love and honour you. Engage them in conversation. Ask them what God is doing in their life, how he's speaking to them at the moment. Share from your own life and your own experiences. Help them to lay those foundations and learn from your example that they might honour those senior to them. But what about those of us who've moved beyond our teenage years? Does this commandment then cease to apply to us once we reach adulthood, the age of 18 or wherever else it might be? Well, no, of course it doesn't. The dynamics of our relationship with our parents change, but the fundamental attitude is to remain the same. We are to honour our parents. And unfortunately, I think we must probably say that Western society has lost its respect for age. It's no longer a great thing. It's brilliant to be young, it's not so good to be old. But right here, at the beginning of God's instructions of how we are to relate to one another as God's people, godly treatment of the elderly is at the forefront. Honour your father and mother. I mentioned earlier that Jesus addresses this issue with the Pharisees in Matthew 15 and Mark 7, as he lays into them in the strongest possible terms about their practice of korban, which was about dedicating something to God. And they were using that as an excuse not to help their aged parents. But Jesus is quite blunt with them. By doing that, by failing to look after their elderly parents, Jesus said, they were nullifying God's law. They were displaying their hypocrisy, he said as he quoted words from Isaiah. And they were displaying, most shockingly of all, he said, to Pharisees, the religious leaders at the time, they were showing how far their hearts were from the God they professed to worship. That's what he said to them. That's a thought, isn't it? How we treat our elderly parents, and by extension, I think, how we treat the elderly amongst us in our church family, displays our hearts towards God. That's what Jesus said. How we treat those older than us displays our hearts towards God. Now, I'm aware that there are many within our church family who do care for elderly parents. And let me say, there is great godliness and kindness in the way in which you give of yourself at great cost to look after your elderly parents. It's a mark of your heart towards God. It's a great joy to those of us who see it. I know it is often costly, it is frequently tiring, and it's often hard. But it's always Christ-like. It's to do what Jesus does. And if it is always Christ-like to do that, that means that where the cost of time and energy of honouring your parents prevents you from doing other things, whether that be in the workplace or in the church or wherever else it might be, there is no loss there. There is no loss there. See, honouring your parents is not an obstacle to greater service of God. It is service to him. Honouring your parents is not an obstacle to greater service to God. It is service to him. And it's not a denial of your own opportunities for development. It is a part of learning that greater dependence on the God who is your father and on whom you depend. Two last things to say as we close. I'm aware that we've not addressed the reality here of what this means for those of us who have bad parents. And there'll be some amongst us who have had awful parents. I'll be happy to talk with you further about that afterwards and to pray with you if you'd like that. But let me just say this. That this commandment and Paul's application to obey in Ephesians and Colossians is not an excuse for abuse. Never an excuse for abuse. The role and power that comes with being a parent is not to be abused. Nor is it a requirement to be a doormat, the instruction to obey. These are God's commandments. They reflect his character. And he is a God of justice and goodness, of kindness and of righteousness. And he will never condone that which goes against his character. There is no excuse for abusive parenting. But I think it's true to say that his command to honour still stands. Even where that might well mean us walking away for our own protection. Because honour, again, is an attitude that we take. And honouring those who fail us, as for some of us our parents have failed us, honouring those who fail us fits with what Jesus later says about loving our enemies. And that is profoundly countercultural. And it is incredibly difficult. In those situations, what will it mean to honour? Well, I think it may well mean maintaining a distance, perhaps both physically and emotionally, because that's all that we can do to protect ourselves from greater hurt. But it will also mean guarding our hearts against bitterness. That will mean asking for the strength to forgive, and asking for that strength again and again and again, because forgiving something which is really hard does not just happen and then go away. We do it again and again and again in the grace of God. And I think it also means praying for repentance for those who have sinned against us. Because sin is always awful. And sin always must be repented of. Or we face the consequences of it. Now I'm aware that's a hard road to walk. And we've barely skated over the beginnings of that. It's a hard road to walk with much pain and with many tears. And it must not be walked alone. It must not be walked alone. And that's where, again, the church family is of vital importance. We need to walk alongside one another in these things. To pray for that strength to keep going. To pray for the healing that comes from past suffering. And to stand with one another in the midst of grace. And it also means remembering that this is not all there is. This broken world that we currently live in is not all that there is. Because these Ten Commandments not only give us instructions on how to live in the here and now, although they do that, they also gloriously point forward to what is still to come. Because we do not keep rules to make God love us. We do not keep rules to make God love us. We follow his ways because he loves us. We follow his ways because he loves us. And he has loved us supremely in his Son. The one who kept all of these laws perfectly. The one who, as we celebrated earlier on, took our place and the consequences that we deserved for our failure to keep those commandments. And he gave us his perfection in place of our failure. Because you see, Jesus supremely honoured and obeyed his Father, didn't he? Supremely honoured and obeyed the Father. And by doing that, he secured a place for us forever. At the Father's side, that we might live long for all eternity in the land that God has given us, in his land. See, there's great good news in this commandment. There is a good way to live now that will help us to learn good lessons, but there is also the wonderful promise of a future that has been secured by the fully obedient Son who went to his death in our place. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for families. We thank you for the blessings that many of us have of parents who have shown us love and care and concern. And Lord, we pray you'd help us as we seek to honour them. Whether we be living with them still now or whether they be living away from us, please would you help us to do that as we seek to honour them just as we honour you, the one who has loved us beyond all measure. Thank you for the great gift of good parents. But Father, we recognise too that some of us have had lousy parents. And Lord, we thank you that you hate their sin just as much as you hate all sin. We pray that you would help us as we struggle to come to terms with that. Please help us to see in you the Father that we long for, the one who is all for us and who loves us beyond our wildest dreams. Help us as we perhaps seek to be parents ourselves, not to follow the example of those who have been poor parents, but to seek to follow the example of the ultimate parents, you, who gave your one and only Son the most precious thing that he had in order to win us back to himself. Father, please would you stir our hearts that we would seek to honour those who have served us. Help us to value the children that you have placed amongst us as well. Help us to see the significance they have as part of our church family here. Help us to love them in such a way that we will encourage honour from them towards those of us who are senior to them. Lord, make us increasingly a family of yours which is shaped in your likeness, that we might be both obedient and honouring children as your Son honoured you, and that we might be loving and caring parents as you were the Father who loved his Son beyond all measure. Father, help us as we seek to put this into practice in our daily lives. And we thank you for the great promise that lies here because of the truly obedient Son who obeyed you to go to death on a cross, that we might have his perfection and look forward to life with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.